This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's hour number two of Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the sports betting network. We've got an amazing hour for you as we recap the Rafael Devers trade in hour number one, but we have to turn it forward now to what we're going to be getting for the Boston Red Sox on Monday. We will do that in a second. We're also going to be talking about the other form of baseball, college baseball, as Ben Wilson, he does amazing work here at the network. Additionally, I know that he has done a lot of play-by-play on the college baseball side of things as well. He's going to be joining me in 15 minutes. We're going to take a look at what we've all gotten in Omaha thus far, and we're going to be turning forward to what we're going to be getting on Monday. By the way, it was great that many of our shows were out there in Omaha over the weekend over at Rocco's. I will still campaign. Please, if there's someone out there in Omaha that can find a way to be able to get me those jello shots to be able to review, I would love nothing more than to be able to do so. I come from a university in the University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh, where, well, there were quite a few jello shots put down in my days at UW Oshkosh. We will leave it at that, and we will not go any further to be able to protect ourselves, for lack of a better term, but there were many jello shots put down, so would love to be able to relive my college days, and being a man from out there from the Midwest, I can always appreciate that. Something that I can appreciate even more, though, all the hard work here done behind the scenes by everyone that makes these shows that you see slash hear possible. We've got the best team in the business, in my opinion. You've got my producer, Adam, who does such a great job of keeping things in line with regards to this show. He always is very supportive, and he always makes sure that things stay online tight and clean, and so he does a tremendous job on that front. And then you've got our on-site associate producer, Johnny, always setting me up for success. Always appreciate that. Here might be the toughest job here at VSiN, though. Megan Me will look halfway presentable in a video slash moving picture format. Jerns, he does a tremendous job with that with our technical director, and all the odds that you see on your screen, they are always up to date. They're always on point. Thanks to him as well. And then on the audio side of things, if you're listening on SiriusXM channel 158, if you're listening after the fact in podcast form, as every single hour of every single show, we have that in podcast form, vsiN.com/podcast. So you're able to listen after the fact. Our man Chris does a tremendous job of making sure that the audio is always crisp and clean. So big thanks to everyone behind the scenes. They do the best work in the business, and because they're on point with regards to everything that you see and hear on VSiN, I need to be on point with regards to my picks. And we'll dive into the picks in a second, but and the fact that you've got Rafael Devers getting traded on Father's Day on June 15th, where, again, trade deadline, it's not quite here yet. Like, you've still got quite a bit of time before the trade deadline is going to be reached. He gets traded, and he gets traded away for Kyle Harrison, who was supposed to start on Sunday Night Baseball. He had to get scratched, and hey, if you had the Giants plus a run and a half, you were able to get there with the bullpen game of the San Francisco Giants, so yay, verily there. Also gets traded for Jordan Hicks, who, yeah, Jordan Hicks has not necessarily been so amazing for this team, to say the least. And then you've got a pair of prospects that move as well. James Tibbs was the main of them. He was a first-round pick in the 2024 draft. A little bit of a utility player, a guy that you can look to for a wide variety of different things for this Boston Red Sox team. But it just didn't feel like the haul was enough. But now we need to dive in and take a look at what we're going to be getting on Monday for this Boston Red Sox team, because there's certainly a lot of futures aspirations for this team. There's certainly a lot of things that you're able to take a look at in terms of feeling bullish slash bearish on. And I personally do think that the Boston Red Sox are going to be making at least one more move here in the next few weeks, if not multiple moves. But I mean, what it means for Monday is that they're without their best hitter, and they now have to take a cross-country road trip. And I do believe that Rafael Devers was on the plane going on over to Seattle. They had to ask, Mr. Devers, you are not going to be going to Seattle. Instead, pack your knives and leave, for lack of a better term, to use the old chop form, as he is going to be instead heading on over to the West Coast to San Francisco. But right now with the Seattle Mariners, you're seeing them on the board as right around about a minus 170, as high as a minus 186 favorite. This is a line that's ballooning up and up and up, and the total on this game in most places is a 7.5. We're starting to see one straight 7 pop up over here at Circa, and I was still, because I had my initial handicap with Rafael Devers in the lineup, I readjusted it with him being out of the lineup, I still land on the over in this spot. Mainly because you've got a lot of work here, because not only do you have everything that's going on with the Boston Red Sox not having Rafael Devers, this is the first start for Logan Gilbert in darn near 2 months. I mean, the last time he started, It was on, I believe, April 25th. And Logan Gilbert is a rock-solid starter. In the few starts they had this season, he was posting up a 2.35 ERA. So you know what you're going to get out of Logan Gilbert when he's fully right and when he's fully humming. But start number one off the injury list for so many of these pitchers is such a roll of the dice. You don't know what you're going to be getting. Now, for Logan Gilbert, he made a couple starts over at AAA Tacoma, which that's in the PCL. That's a little bit of a juice ball leg. So you don't necessarily want to look totally at the ERA with regards to some of those minor league rehab starts, but I mean, he made three starts and he went 9 2/3 innings. Looked good enough with a little bit over 10 strikeouts per 9 innings. He was doing a nice job being able to lock it down there, but I mean, it's such a small sample size that you have to imagine that the Seattle Mariners are going to be diving in quite a bit to the bullpen. And the Seattle Mariners bullpen has been neither here nor there. You've been able to have the likes of Gabe Speier, Andres Munoz, Matt Brash all give you a sub-3 ERA, and they didn't have to dive too much into the bullpen on Sunday because you had Emerson Hancock give you a good start. And by the way, with Emerson Hancock, 3 runs or fewer allowed in 10 out of his 12 starts this season. So even though he might have a high ERA, he's actually been able to provide a little bit of bang for your buck for the Seattle Mariners. But still, with the Seattle Mariners, you have to imagine that they're going to be going quite deep into the bullpen. Logan Gilbert probably not fully stretched out quite yet. And he goes up against Boston Red Sox team that, even without Rafael Devers, I still think that they're going to be very formidable. We'll get into that a little bit more in a second. But first things first, we do have to talk about this as well, as we've got a lot that is going on here with regards to sports. You've got so many things to be able to bet on. College World Series, the NBA Finals, NHL Finals, list goes on. And you want to know where the money and the bets are really going. You need to get the splits here at VSiN, as we've got them from both DraftKings and Circa. That gives you insight as to where the sharp action is landing. Circa's known for taking some of the big bets from the big professional bettors, while DraftKings, they provide a little bit more of a broad market perspective. So this means that you're getting real action, not just the public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. See the percentage of bets versus the percentage of handle in terms of every single game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as low as $9.99 for your first month over at VSiN.com/subscribe, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And with the Red Sox, I still think that they're going to be fine with regards to their lineup. They're still a top six team with regards to runs per game this season. They've been able to do a pretty solid job, but be able to put back to ball on the road. Now, the Alex Bregman injury certainly is a little bit of a damper on things. Now you no longer have Rafael Devers as well, and he was doing a solid job at the DH spot, but you've got plenty of guys that are able to move the line, and you are going to be playing it out there in a ballpark in Seattle that, if you look at ballpark factors, it is the number one pitcher-friendly ballpark out there in all of baseball. So you need to find guys that move the line and just find a way to be able to get on base. And you've got that with this Red Sox team. Rob Refsnyder, in a small sample size, has been able to hit about a 300. You've been able to have Abraham Toro really step up for the team. He's actually a former Seattle Mariner. He's been able to hit above a 300 as well. You've had Carlos Narvaez at the catcher spot doing a solid job as well. Now, they had out there Mr. Wong on Sunday, and he just has not been able to give you anything whatsoever for the Boston Red Sox, but so you've got quite a few guys. They're doing a solid job here, and you call up these guys like Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, guys like this. I do think that they're going to be able to find their way sooner rather than later, but a big reason why I just can't take a shot here on the Boston Red Sox, not so much Rafael Devers being out, it's a man on the mound for them. And that would be one Mr. Lucas Giolito. I recognize he's actually been better recently. 0 or 1 runs allowed in 3 out of his last 4 games, but rocking a nice hearty 5.45 ERA. His 7 strikeouts per 9 innings are the fewest that we've seen since the 2018 campaign. And he's given up nearly 1.5 home runs per 9 innings. He's given up over 3 walks per 9. And he does face off against a Seattle Mariners lineup that they were really able to find it in that series against the Cleveland Guardians. You've got Cal Raleigh, big dumper, who's won about a week without getting a home run. I'm never going to use the do for a theory because, well, I don't think that you ever truly do in sports, but I do think that sooner rather than later, he's going to be able to bust out. He's going to give you a bit more, but about the way that the Seattle Mariners in general have found a way to move the line, as J.P. Crawford is right now giving you darn near 400 on base. You've been able to have Julio Rodriguez, after a slow start to the season, pick it up. He and Ori Polanco both hitting between about a 262-270, 10 home runs apiece. Rowdy Tellez, not hitting for any average whatsoever, but he's been able to do a solid job giving you the power. He's been able to give you 10 home runs thus far this season. Miles Mascheroni has been pretty solid as well. So if the Logan Gilbert is coming off the injured list, I don't think that he gives a ton of length. I think that he does just enough to be able to hand it off to that bullpen, find a way for for them to get the job done. And for the Boston Red Sox, bullpen has actually been solid for them. You take a look at what you've been able to get out of Aroldis Chapman, sub-2 ERA at a very advanced age. Additionally, you've got these guys like a Garrett Woodlock, who's able to give you multiple innings, sub-3 ERA. Brandon Bernardino is starting to regress a little bit, but I mean, he's still been fine, sub-350 ERA. So it's an interesting circumstance here, but I think that both pitchers, not necessarily going to be long for this game. Maybe I told it at 8.1. I do like the over, and I do like the Seattle Mariners here laying a run half. Right now, you're able to find that run line price at about a plus 128. I was willing to go a plus 120 or higher. So I'm going to be looking at the run line there to go along with this total over. Now, the one game where we really don't have a lot of openers is the Sacramento A's. And I mean, this makes it very, very difficult. Like with the Sacramento A's, you just don't know who they're going to be trotting out there with regards to a starter. Now, they've done a lot of places do a nice job in terms of being a project forward, but I just don't know who the Sacramento A's are fooling right now. Like, for the Sacramento A's, they're more than 10 games below 500 right now, and you just still have to be announced out there in terms of so much of this, and I'm not sure why. Like, with the Sacramento A's, this is the one team that I really wish MLB would crack down on. It's not just for sports bettors like myself, but just picture yourself being, like, a child. You're wanting to go to a baseball game. I know, it is Father's Day. Like, when you're a kid and you're like, hey, Dad, who's pitching for our team here? And I want to go to a game. It's like, oh, son, there's this mystery guy named To Be Determined. I heard that he throws some heat, but we don't know what we're going to get out of him. Like, that's right now what you're going through with the Sacramento A's. So, unfortunately, we don't have a ton of insight there. It should be Mitch Spence, but we shall see what is going to be happening on that front. What we do know is that we've got a lot of great action out there in Omaha. Ben Wilson, he does an amazing job looking at college baseball. We're going to be breaking it down with him next on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Great to be joined by this fan on the Progressive Guest Line as Ben Wilson does a great job as one of our hosts here at VSIN. He's a little bit of a utility man here at VSIN, does a wide variety of shows. Additionally, he does tremendous work with play-by-play and tennis, college baseball, college basketball, you name it, he does it. And Ben, it's great to get you aboard. Thank you so much.
Hey, you're the man. Appreciate you having me on. And we are in a crazy stretch right now where College World Series, it's underway, but only two of the eight teams have been eliminated so far. So actually only one, technically. We're going to have another one tomorrow. So there's still a lot to discuss as far as the Omaha stuff goes.
No question about it. And it has been wild what we've seen in Omaha these first few days. And I want to address this before we go any further. How do you take a look at the totals in Omaha? Because what I've always found with college baseball is that you want to be betting the overs in the first two rounds, the regionals and the super regionals. But then when it comes to Omaha, the scoring, it does go way down. And here in the College World Series, it's been a little bit of hit or miss with regards to the unders. But we have noticed that the scoring from what we saw in the first few rounds of the college baseball playoffs has gone certainly way down.
It has. It's twofold, really. You have, for one, a park that favors pitching and defense. It's a gappy ballpark. It's hard to hit a lot of balls out there in Omaha. And also the pitching staffs that have made it. It's something we always talk about when it comes to futures and betting regional winners, super regional winners. The teams that have the deepest staffs generally are the best position to advance because everybody's got a lot of bats. Most of these lineups you look at and there's four or five guys hitting over 300. That's just the nature of college baseball. But really where you differentiate yourselves is when it comes down to the pitching staff. And so far, we're looking at, after the Coastal Carolina tonight, Greg, 4-2 to the unders in the first six games. It really should be 5-1. The Arizona-Coastal Carolina game, that was pretty much a dead under. And then the bullpens. And some, by the way, Arizona's best reliever got nuked in the eighth inning of that game, which was really shocking on my end. I lost an under on that game. So I'd argue it probably should be 5-1 so far. And what's interesting, too, is you get days off in between right now. So for, let's take like UCLA, for example, tomorrow. They use five pitchers in their first game against Murray State, but that was on Saturday, and none of their only one of the five relievers threw more than 20 pitches. So they're pretty much all good to go. They can just run it back, and I figure they're probably going to go all out, try to empty the tank to see if they can beat LSU. And then if you do that right, you sell out and you win. Well, now you've got all those additional days on the back end you can use to get your guys healthy. So that, to me, is a bit of the explanation as to why the unders have been so good. And there's another under shocker that I'm going to go to the back to the well on here for the Monday card.
Absolutely. And you mentioned that UCLA versus LSU game first. So how about if we address that one before we go into the elimination game of Arkansas versus Murray State? And right now with LSU, that total is 9.5 shaded down to the under. And LSU nearing a $3 favorite, just below that. You're able to get UCLA north of plus $2. How do you take a look at this UCLA versus LSU game?
Well, once we get the starting pitchers announced, and I have to think, we're all assuming it's Anthony Ianson for LSU, who's sort of the second leg of what's arguably been the best 1-2 pitcher combo in the country this year. And if you watch Cade Anderson earlier this weekend, you saw how electric he was. He's now 11-1 and was awesome. 7 innings, 1 run allowed against Arkansas. Well, they go to Ianson, who's 11-2. He had a rough outing, actually, in Super Regionals, 5 innings, 4 earned. Before that, his previous 8 appearances, he'd gone 46 innings, allowed just 6 runs. That is a 1.17 ERA. And it's because he's got a really good slider that has great depth on it for the college level, pairs it with a fastball in the mid to upper 90s, really good hammer curve as well. I mean, this is a potential big league sort of arsenal for Ianson, who was a transfer out of UC San Diego, had 2 great years there for the Tritons. Now has had a really outstanding season after some early bumps in the road his first year there down in Baton Rouge. I figure he goes deep. I figure this is a tight, low-scoring game as a result. The big question is, how does the UCLA bullpen hold up? And I'm imagining Landon Stump will only be asked to try to go 2 times max through the order. He's only gone over 5 innings as a starter, 3 out of his 17 starts. But again, that's okay because UCLA has a really good bullpen. They're 20th in the country in ERA, top 30 in whip. And they will have pretty much a full complement of relievers back with that day off following the Murray State game. All leads me to the under here, and it's 9.5. We're talking overnight with the trends, with the pitching matchup. Once that gets announced, I got to think this probably closes 9. So I'd be trying to jump on that 9.5 since a 5-4 ball game and LSU wins it. That still would get you the cash on the under there.
I do like that look as Ben Wilson, who does such great work here at VSiN, joining me right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And in a second, we have to talk about the Murray State Racers, but we also have to talk about some horse racing as well. Why not bet on sports? Why not the races? First Bet, it lets you wager on hundreds of different horse races every single day from the top tracks all across the United States and around the world. Sign up over at firstbet.com. That's the number one. stbet.com and utilize the promo code of VSIN200. That is VSIN200. That claims you a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200 on over at firstbet.com. And very fitting that now we get to talk about the Murray State Racers, who I've seen them in some places as the Arkansas Razorbacks, I should say, as high as -$5 to -$6, which means that for Murray State, you're not quite getting $5 to $6, but you're getting well north of +$3, well north of +$3.50. Total on this game is 10.5. How do you take a look at Arkansas versus Murray State, where you've got a line that it was supposed to be Chris Sale going for the Atlanta Braves on Sunday? Even when Chris Sale was going up against the Rockies, that was like a -450 line. This is an even bigger line than that, and it's just so intriguing that we go to Omaha and you've got this demonstrative of a money line.
It is, and you feel bad for Murray State in a sense because they've earned their way here. The way they have been able to take down, they took down Ole Miss in a regional setting. They've taken down really legitimate teams, and they've done it with excellent defense in a way. They've probably been the best mid-major defensive team in the country all year, and the bats have been super hot. But now you're forced into this bracket two, really like the bracket of death here, where it's Arkansas, it's LSU, and those are probably the two best teams in the country, and they faced off in the very first game of it. So as much as it's been a great ride for Murray State, the biggest question all the way along was how would the pitching hold up? And honestly, the pitching, they got down big against UCLA, and the pitching kind of hung in there. They made that a game, ended up being 6-4 and stayed under for a team that's just been an over machine throughout the postseason. Not enough for me to go to the well, though. The only thing I would do here is I do believe it is pretty good value at this point, taking a stab on Arkansas in the futures market. I was shopping around. You can get +650. I'd love to get a 7-1 just because I did my own kind of theoretical mechanical parlay here, Greg. And if you think about the line for this game, and it's easy because Arkansas and LSU were pretty much coin toss pick 'em on the price. Arkansas was a slight favorite there in the game on Saturday. So you figure Arkansas will be a slightly higher favorite. Let's say it's Arkansas UCLA if Arkansas beats Murray State. Probably looking at Arkansas -280 to -300 in that elimination game. Then you would have to win two straight against LSU, and whoever comes out of that would be the prohibitive favorite in the actual championship game. So when I did those numbers, it came out to about a one. I think that's the fair price for a mechanical parlay, what it would take for Arkansas to win. Usually books aren't going to give you that the true value, right? So I realize you're giving up a few cents there. But plus 650 to me is still worth a stab. This is a team that had the best WRC plus, second best WRC plus in college baseball, a very telling advanced metric that we now have the data and the ability to look into for these college teams. They've got the best pitching staff top to bottom. And I think the one thing that really helps Dave Van Horn here is his ace only threw 38 pitches in that game against LSU, Zach Root. I called a game of his in person earlier this year, and he is legit, really outstanding pitcher for the Hogs. But they pulled him early. They realized he didn't have it, which is actually, in a sense, it's a good thing because now he can come back, pitch, and go a full seven if need be in any of these must-have elimination games. Obviously not for the game tomorrow, but potentially later in the road, one of those LSU games they could have him back for. That's why, for me, Arkansas, as much as it was a big blow to lose game one of the College World Series, you got to win four straight and then win two or three in the championship. They are completely capable of running the table here and winning. It would be six wins in the next seven games with four straight having to come right now. Totally worth a play for me on a flyer there at plus 650.
Yep, and with the Arkansas Razorbacks, so interesting to take a look at them and who might be the, shall we say, biggest challenger to Arkansas if they are able to survive in advance and get past Murray State.
Yeah, it's like this part of the bracket to me determines the winner of it all. I mean, LSU is going to ultimately be the team. I mean, if it plays out this way, and I don't want to discredit UCLA, they've surprised me. They've done a lot better than I would have anticipated. They were favored, but they were plus 105 to win their own regional, and they were one of just three number one seeds who were plus money in their own regional. So they've really been proving betters wrong this whole postseason. At the end of the day, it's going to come down to, can Arkansas win two straight against LSU? Which, again, that's going to be a tough task. But LSU does have some pitching concerns. Once you get past Anderson and Ianson, who are the 1-2 punch, that's where it's interesting to me. How will that pitching matchup play itself out if Arkansas has got a deeper stable and if LSU is ridden hard, they're 1-2 guys? But to me, it's probably whoever comes out of that bottom half, Greg, that's your winner.
I like that analysis there, Ben. It's going to be so interesting to see what we get in Omaha in the next few days. Ben, you've done such a great job looking at the college baseball front, and always do appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, always a pleasure. Appreciate you having me.
Always great to be able to get Ben aboard. And coming up next, how about if we take a look at what we're going to be getting in Game 5 of the NBA Finals? That's up next right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Was great to be joined by Ben Wilson in the last segment. He's been doing an amazing job taking a look at the front of college baseball, the action that we're getting out there in Omaha, really second to none every single year that tournament delivers, and he was doing a great job of being able to break that all down. So, hey, big thanks to Ben for joining me in the last segment. Now, how about if we go from one final while we're getting out there in Omaha, with that being the college baseball tournament final, and how about if we do take a look at what we're getting in terms of the NBA finals? As we talked about this a little bit in hour number one, Nick Whalen, but I have to give some thoughts here as to how I'm taking a look at Pacers versus the OKC Thunder. Right now with the Thunder, most places have them as a 9.5-point favorite. So on this game, it is ranging between 223.5 to a 224, and just such an intriguing game in general, and that I just once again am going to be going back to the well in terms of how I've been playing really this entire postseason, especially with the Indiana Pacers. With the Indiana Pacers, if they get up double figures, you fade them and you take the team that is down double figures. If the Indiana Pacers are down double figures, you bet on them to be able to make a comeback. And if you've done pretty much nothing else other than bet the team that's been down in Indiana Pacers games, you've been able to make yourself quite a bit of money. So I'm not going to mess around with the side prior to the game. Now, if I were to, I would take a look at the plus 9.5 with the Pacers. I just feel like this team is being just undervalued time and time again. And I do think that they've got the coaching advantage. Like, I don't think that it's a nothing burger that Rick Carlisle has been in this situation before. He was here with the Dallas Mavericks many, many years ago, going up against the Miami Heat in season number one with LeBron James. They had a team in the Dallas Mavericks that was a big-time underdog with regards to that series. They got the job done. They were able to win a title and get a ring for Dirk Nowitzki way back in the day. But I do think that for the Indiana Pacers, just taking a look at some of the props are going to be very intriguing, because I really do think that this team comes and goes with Ben Mathurin, as Ben Mathurin had that incredible game number two, game number three stretch, and then goes a little bit colder in game number four. But I mean, this is a guy that's able to be a little bit more of a microwave scorer. It's been a little bit befuddling as to his overall usage here in the finals as well, because for Mathurin, he was able to see 22 minutes apiece in game number two and game number three. He had a combined 41 points in that stretch, and then he goes out for eight against the OKC Thunder in just 14 minutes. But right now we're seeing his player prop at 8.5, and like I was saying in hour number one, with the zigzag theory in the NBA, and you take a look at that throughout the NBA playoffs, it certainly has been pretty tried and true for a lot of people. I've actually been playing the Ben Mathurin zigzag theory. Did burn me a little bit when he went over in game two and then did so in game number three, but then he regresses again in game number four. I think that this is going to be a big-time up game for Ben Mathurin. I think that he's going to be able to have a relatively solid performance, because I do think that Carlisle is going to look at what he's been able to provide all postseason long, and this guy's been a really nice three-point shooter for the team here in the finals. In his last 10 games, he's been, shall we say, a little bit hit or miss with regards to just being able to bury some of those threes, but he's done a nice job of being able to get to the free throw line. Even if that three ball's not working for him, him being able to get the charity stripe, I think it's a little bit of a saving grace for him, and I do think that he's going to be able to have himself a nice performance here. Now, if you take a look at some of these other guys, Obi Toppin was obviously the toast of the town with game number one, him being able to bury those five threes, but ever since then, it's been hit or miss. He was able to go out there and have 17 points in game number four, but obviously all for naught, as for the OKC Thunder, they find a way to be able to will their way back. And I do think that with just the overall shooting in this game, it should be on the up and up, as you saw the OKC Thunder in game number four find a way to win that game despite going 3 of 16 from 3-point. And the Pacers going just 11 of 36 from 3. You do have to expect that things are going to be able to rebound a little bit for both of these teams, and I think the Pacers are going to get it through the head of Miles Turner. Hey, we don't need you to take six threes after you went 0 of 6 in game number 4. So I do think that you're going to have more, shall we say, guys that you trust taking these threes, like Obi Toppin, Ben Mathurin coming off the bench. So I do think that the role players for the Pacers, I recognize that typically the role players play a little bit better when they're at home rather than on the road, but I do think that they're going to step up a little bit more in this spot as well. And then I do think that it's very intriguing what you're going to be able to get out of Aaron Nesmith, because even though he had just 8 points in game number four, he was still able to bury a pair of threes. So if you're looking at a over 1.5 3 points prop with him, now you're going to be laying a lot of juice if you're getting the 1.5. You have to really go up to 2.5 if you want to get a little bit more of a respectable number. But I do think that he's going to be able to bury a few threes in this game. He's just been so good for it all throughout the postseason. As a matter of fact, if you go over 2 made threes, so over 1.5, you'd be laying minus 170. If you're going over 2.5, that at that point is a plus 160. So, I mean, it does make that a little bit difficult to roll the dice on. Now, I will be going under on Miles Turner again, because, again, he goes 0 of 6 from 3 in game number 4. I do think that he is probably not going to be attempting the same amount of threes in game number 5 as he did in game number 4. But I do think that with regards to the OKC Thunder, the real question in this game, who steps up around Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? Because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 34-plus points in 3 out of the 4 games. He has been absolutely magnificent. He has been the lightning rod that has been able to get things going for the OKC Thunder. But at some point, even for how great Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is, he does need a little bit of a Robin. And that's what needs to be discussed right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And all postseason long, it's been Jalen Williams, in my opinion, who's really been that number 2 guy. And for Jalen Williams, this guy has been rock solid throughout the postseason. Recognize he got off to a little bit of a slow start here in the finals, but I'm right now seeing his player prop over at 22.5 points with regards to him being able to give you a little bit of production. Not a guy that's really going to light you up from 3-point range, but I do think that he has a big game, and I do think that overall the shooting is going to be going northward in this game. I do think that for the OKC Thunder, they get a little bit, for lack of a better term, back to happy, because I feel like this has been the case for the OKC Thunder. They've outsmarted themselves. They looked at what they saw in game number one against the Indiana Pacers, where the Pacers, they were dead to rights. They get all of a sudden super duper hot towards back half of the game. They lead that comeback. And I think that the OKC Thunder were a little bit spooked by that, for lack of a better term. And we've had this happen all throughout the postseason. The Indiana Pacers, they are a team that is, I mean, out of lack of a better term, they're the team that's able to get the hottest at the most random of times. Like, we used to see this way back in the day when the Golden State Warriors would have those massive third quarters. It's not quite a third quarter thing with regards to the Indiana Pacers, but just late in games, they find a way to be able to hit threes. They get someone like Aaron Nesmith. Sometimes it's Nemhard. Sometimes it's Tyrese Haliburton. Just someone goes off and they just have a microwave scoring performance for a few minutes and is able to will the team back in a lot of these games. And the OKC Thunder, they need to be willing a little bit more to, for lack of a better term, live with it. Even though they've got a really good defense, sometimes there's just something that they can do. And I felt like they were trying to do a little bit too much after that game. I do think that the proper adjustments are going to be made. And I do think that for the OKC Thunder, where it really starts is just being able to hammer things down low. That's, I think, leads to a little bit more minutes for Isaiah Hartenstein. Right now is over rebound prop at over 7.5. You're able to get that at a plus 105. That's something that I'd be willing to take an over on. Now, I just don't know what you're going to be able to get out of some of these Pacers players with regards to their rebounds. Like, I want to go under on Miles Turner because right now his rebound prop is at 5.5, but in order to go under, you're laying at north of minus 150 juice, and that's just not worth it, in my opinion. Aaron Nesmith, same thing goes for him. It's over a 5.5. You're able to get the over at a plus 150, but I should say a plus 130, but the under north of minus 150, just not offering you a lot of bang for your buck there. But I do think that if you're looking at a few more unders with regards to this game, I do think that you look a little bit more towards the prop market with regards to the points. Miles Turner, guy that I just really am not overly bullish on. I think that Hartenstein being out there is going to limit Miles Turner a little bit more. And I do fully expect Isaiah Hartenstein to be a bit more of a part of the game plan here for the OKC Thunder in game number 5 and moving forward. I know that we were talking with Nick Whalen, who does great work over at Prop Points in hour number 1, and he was talking about Alex Caruso perhaps having a big game. Right now, we've seen that points prop be elevated to 10.5. That's just one that I think that's gotten a little bit too rich. If it were single digits, I would be willing to take a shot on the over there. But another guy that I think is very intriguing to the under is just taking a look at Pascal Siakam. I do think that there's going to be a little bit of regression here. Fully recognize that he's been able to put up 20-plus points on the regular here in the postseason as he's averaging about 20, 21 points per contest. But I do think that this is going to be a game where the OKC Thunder zone in on him and they limit him a little bit more. If I'm looking at things prior to the game and I'm going to be betting this in-game, I would be looking at it 224 over. I do think that we are going to be able to get some hotter shooting than what we saw in game number 4 because, quite frankly, things can't be a whole heck of a lot more cold than what we saw in game number 4. And with regards to the bets I'm liking with regards to this game, like I said, if I had to bet this right now, I would be looking at the Pacers plus 9.5. I'm going to bank on them getting down early, and then I'll probably be able to get a double-figure number in-game. But certainly going to be looking at Ben Mathurin to have a nice game in this one. Right now it's over 9.5 points you're able to get actually at plus money, and I'm going to be willing to take a shot there. Going to be looking under on Pascal Siakam, and then with regards to rebounds, Isaiah Hartenstein, I think that he's going to hammer it home. I do think that the OKC Thunder make adjustments, and I think that the OKC Thunder go up 3-2. In the end, I think that this is going to be a single digit game. I feel like we've just been disrespecting the Pacers a little bit too much here in the postseason, and we are going to be in for a really good Monday game. We're also in for a really good Monday slate of baseball. Not a ton of games. We've only got 7 in total, but we've got ourselves a chance to be able to get even money to fade the Colorado Rockies run line. Sign me up there and sign me up for chatting about that next right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got ourselves a great slate of sports on Monday. We've got the NBA Finals going down. We've yet to cover the Stanley Cup Final game number 6 because that is actually going to be coming up on Tuesday. They gave an extra day of travel there, but have no fear. We're going to be talking about that a little bit later on. Coming up in about 30 minutes, Jonathan Davis, who does such amazing work here at VSiN, taking a look at this wonderful game of hockey. He's going to be joining me. We'll decide, is this going to be a case where we do get those famous words in sports, game 7, or is it going to be the Florida Panthers going back to back? And Let's see if this team is able to go back-to-back, and I will give you guys a spoiler. I don't think that they're going to be going back-to-back. This is the Colorado Rockies, who they won a game on Sunday. You want to mark that down on your calendar because there have not been a lot of wins for the Colorado Rockies this far this season. There have been now 14 of them thus far this season, but they're going to be on the road facing off against the Washington Nationals. As for the Nationals, it is going to be Jake Irvin on the bump for them, and you've got Mr. Carson Palmquist on the bump for the Colorado Rockies. Right now with the Nationals, a lot of places have this run line at even money. I'm seeing a straight minus 101 out there, but you're pretty much getting even money on this. And with the Colorado Rockies, you're getting plus 180 on the money line with them. Again, I'm not going to be able to do it with the Colorado Rockies on the money line. They have won 7 road games thus far this season, and we're in the middle of June. And this season started in March. Like, my goodness, congratulations to the Colorado Rockies putting up a 10 spot against the Atlanta Braves, and a little bit of credit needs to be given where it's due. The Colorado Rockies are playing a little bit of better baseball, and they might be able to avoid the moniker of a worst team in baseball history. Now, if you're looking at modern baseball, where, I mean, you've got the live ball era and the dead ball era, they're pretty much doomed there. Even with adding Therio Estrada, even with adding Orlando Arcia, doing not so great, to say the least, for the Colorado Rockies. But, and they've been a little bit more respectable there, but still, very, very rough team, to say the least. Going into Sunday, averaging 2.5 runs per game away from home. Dead stinking last in the big leagues. Their entirety of their ERA, bottom two in the big leagues in terms of both their bullpen and their starting pitching ERA. And for Carson Palmquist, this is clearly not a guy that's ready to be up at the big league level. Now, is there the propensity to be able to get a little bit of swing and miss out of him? Certainly. Like with Carson Palmquist, he's been able to give you a little bit of strikeout stuff. He's a little bit of an upside guy. That said, he's rocking a 7.77 ERA, and this is just not a place where you want to be, giving up 2 home runs per 9 innings. Guy has gone out there and has been getting banged around like a pinata, as he's right now giving up north of 4.5 walks per 9 innings, actually closer to 5 walks per 9 innings, and it's not like he's being backed up by the Mona Lisa Vitos of baseball with regards to bullpen. Now, the bullpen was actually a little bit of a saving grace for the Colorado Rockies going into that series against the Atlanta Braves, but then their bullpen should have been nicknamed Hickory when they went to Atlanta because they got completely smoked. Now you've got Zach Ogdos, who is off to a nice start to the season, posting up well north of a 5 ERA. You've got Tyler Kinley posting up north of a 7 ERA. Seth Alverson has not been good for the team. You still have some relatively okay pitching. Juan Mejia, who they did have to throw out there during the weekend, he's been able to give you a sub-4 ERA. You've been able to have Jake Bird, along with Jimmy Harrigan, give you some relatively okay innings. But all in all, it is a Colorado Rockies team that they're, for lack of a better term, rocky, to say the least. And I do think that they're going to continue to be moving forward. As you just take a look at what they're doing with regards to their road batting average, they're currently ending at .198. .198 overall as a team. That is below the middle sign of a 200, and you got just so many guys. RCO, I mentioned before, one of their main ads. A guy like a Ryan McMahon, backup catcher Jacob Sellings, Brenton Doyle. You just go down the list of guys hitting below a 200 on the road. Now, shout out to Hunter Goodman. Hunter Goodman has given you 8 home runs on the road this far this season. But you take a look at guys not named Hunter Goodman, the rest of the team in 37 road games, 21 home runs thus far this season. Just not supplying the boom. Now, is Jake Irvin going to be some sort of Cy Young Award winner in his career? No. He's giving you less than 6 strikeouts per 9 innings. Just credit only about 2.7 walks per 9 innings, but he's given up right around 1.4 home runs per 9 as well, and he's backed up by a bullpen that is gross, I think is the best way of putting it. You've got a Washington Nationals team that's dead last in the National League in terms of bullpen ERA. Eduardo Salazar has been posting up well north of 70 ERA. It's become survival of the fittest in this bullpen because they were trotting out their guys like Colin Boucher, Lucas Sims begin the season. They had to cut bait with so many of those guys. They have had just a turnstile with regards to some of their bullpens pieces. You've got Jackson Rutledge, who had a nice start to the season. He's really regressed. Now they've been able to get some good innings out of Cole Henry, so shout out there, but yeah, it's not been great to say the least. But again, with Washington Nationals, you've got much more offense out of the team with James Wood giving you good wood, 16 home runs as far this season. Then You've had a few other guys like a C.J. Abrams be able to move line, hitting north of 265. He's been able to supply a little bit of power. You could use a little bit more batting average out of Nathaniel Lowe along with Josh Bell, but both of these guys, 8-plus home runs as far this season. So I do think that with the Washington Nationals, even though it's been a rough season for them to say the least, I do think that Irvin holds down a Colorado Rockies team that it's fair to say that their 10-run outburst on Sunday was a big giant outlier. I think that it's the old saying of our good friend from the water boy in Rob Schneider, where it's like, oh no, we suck again. I think that that's going to be the case for the Colorado Rockies. So going to be fading them. I'm going to be taking the Nationals at even money on the run line. Semi total at 8.3 as well. Just don't think that the Colorado Rockies do their part with this total. So going to be in on the under, and I'm going to be in on that run line right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And how about if we take a look at another team and the NL East, because we just looked at the Nationals and what they're going to be able to do in terms of this division rivalry. It's the Philadelphia Phillies on the road against the Miami Marlins, and this is going to be the early game of the day, which, by the way, no day baseball on Monday. If the day ends in Y, we need a day game. That is my personal opinion, but that said, baseball, the MLB, they decided a little bit different on this one, and it's much to my chagrin. 951, 952 on the card. You've got Mick Abel. Is he able to get the Phillies a win? Well, they set him as a slight favorite at a minus 122. You've got Sandy Alcantara on the bump for Miami, and right now Miami is about a plus 110 to a plus 115, and my total is 8.5 with the juice shaded down a little bit to the under in a lot of spots. And with regards to Philadelphia Phillies, I actually like what I've seen out of Mick Abel. Do recognize that in his three starts, he has given up a pair of homers. He's giving up 1.8 home runs per nine innings, but 8.1 strikeouts and 1.8 walks per nine innings. If you take a look at what he did for the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, great mascot, by the way, he was posting up a sub-250 ERA, doing a nice job of being able to mow them down. And for Sandy Alcantara, this has just been a guy that has been, for lack of a better term, pretty much broken this year. Last two starts have been solid. Last two starts, he has given up three earned runs or fewer, but the big thing with Sandy Alcantara that has been really off for him this year has been the walks. Like when he was winning the Cy Young Award, when he was really having his rock-solid seasons, going deep into games, and he was a workhorse for this team, it was because he was doing a good job of locating in the zone. He was able to just really avoid the walks, and north of four walks per nine innings is just unsavory for him. Now, the good news is he is pitching out there in Miami where it's a little bit more pitcher-friendly. Even though over the last few years, it's really been your best over ballpark in the National League, it is still a little bit more of a pitcher-friendly ballpark. That just means that the pitching for the Miami Marlins has not been able to execute. And the big reason why, you look at this bullpen. Bottom five in the big leagues in terms of ERA. Ronnie Enriquez has been able to give you some good innings, and you were able to get a little bit of something out of Eury Pérez on Sunday, but still wasn't able to complete a full five innings, so they did have to go to a lot of different guys, and they had Lake Bacar throw a lot during the weekend, and he's been able to come alive a little bit more, but now he's rocking a little bit north of a four ERA. Just have not been able to get a lot on some of these guys, like a in and out of the lineup. Jesus Tinoco has not been great for this team. George Soriano was a guy that they gave innings to north of 70 ERA. They've really had to go away from him as well. So, I mean, it's been a lot of guys that you just can't rely upon. Anthony Bender's been good. Shout out to Anthony Bender, but that's that, not really getting a lot there. And you just don't have a lot with regards to offense for this Miami Marlins team. For the Miami Marlins, they're about as powerful as Ned Flanders, as they're just not very offensive in general with the way that they are slugging the ball. As you take a look at this Miami Marlins team, they're currently in the bottom seven in the big leagues in terms of runs per game. And the whole reason why is because they just don't have a lot of power. Like Xavier Edwards, for example, he's able to hit a 275. He actually hit for a cycle last season against the Milwaukee Brewers, but when it comes to being able to supply that actual power, you've got Augustin Ramirez, 9 home runs this far this season. Kyle Sowers has been stuck on 10 home runs for quite some time, but the Miami Marlins hitting a home run in 1.6% of their at-bats at home this far this season. Dead last in the National League. You've only got three teams in the big leagues below 2%. That'd be the Royals, the Pittsburgh Pirates, and obviously the Miami Marlins. So that's a bit of an issue. And then for the Phillies, they are still dealing with that injury to Bryce Harper. But you know what? You've been able to get quite a bit out of Kyle Schwarber, 20-plus home runs. And it does feel like the ancillary guys are picking it up. Alec Boehm, Nick Castellanos, they had home runs over the weekend. They're both hitting above a 275. It is a Philadelphia Phillies bullpen that has been, well, shall we say, not so great with regards to their ERA, as well as you've had Jose Alvarado really not be able to do a great job for this team. But now you've been able to get a little bit more out of Matt Strom, Orion Kerkering, back down below a 3 ERA, and you've got a nice pitcher-friendly ballpark. So I'm looking at this 8.5 under, 7 total at 8.2, and I felt like the Phillies should have been closer to a minus 170 favorite. So I do like them on the money line. And to start off our number three, how about if we do take a look at what was a wild Sunday in sports and start to turn it forward for some bets for Monday on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Bank Network.